continue walking on a journey, and the Lord appeared. He knows the Lord. He dwelt in tents, the patriarchs, they dwelt in tents. They had no, their house, their abode, their dwelling place was not on the earth. It was in the heavens. They had nothing stable, a tent, think of it, a tent, nothing solid in the earth. It was all found in the heavens. And this is the norm in the house of God. So, there's a lot there. So, there you go.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
I think what you were saying, that when the Lord directs our heart to His Son, like that's His purpose, that's what He wants to do. And like, so it brings me to where Paul said, it pleased the Father to reveal His Son. I mean, it kind of just like confirms that more, to say like, that's His intent, and that He's pleased with that.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing to see, like, you know, how you're saying He'll use whatever, anytime, to direct our hearts to that. And at that moment that we turn, and the idea of where John, he falls and dies, like his idea, his concept, his God concept, his holy concept dies.
Yeah. I like that, his holy concept.
You know, and it pleased the Father for that concept to die, for him to see, now this is what it really is.
The true. Gosh, yeah. And just you saying that, it's like, this is a terrible example. It's completely carnal. But it's like getting your kid a stuffed doggy, a toy, and they fall so in love with it. And then, like, for Christmas, you bring them the real thing. And what are they going to do in the presence of the real thing, compared to what represents the real thing?
Throw that dog away. They won't pay attention to it.
They won't pay attention to it. That's it. They won't pay attention to it because the real thing is present. And that's where all their attention, all their affection will now be found, in the real one. I mean, that's just a sorry example. But with God, it's so much greater. I mean, light years beyond that. We're so enamored with the thing that represents Christ, or the thing that is supposed to direct our heart into the true one that's present. I mean, just think of it. Imagine, I don't want to say imagine, but think of when the Lord finally does His perfect work in our heart, to where the Spirit of God can direct our attention to Christ. And we see the one who's always been there. I mean, what type of an effect is that going to have on us? I mean, Paul would say it, joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know? And we have no concept of who is present. We don't. Until the Lord direct our heart unto His Son. I love that.
We could see that, and in problems and in things we go through, not good or bad, but in seeing that, it's not that the problem, again, is not the problem, but the problem is that we don't see the Lord in that. You know, and we will see things different. You know, well, this happened. Well, yeah, it's pretty bad, but that's not the problem. The problem is I'm just not seeing the Lord.
Or that's not the issue.
Yeah, it's not the issue. But look at it. No, that's not it. I'm telling you, Lord, let me see you, because I'm not seeing you. And it's okay. It's okay to say, Lord, I have all these feelings, but it's not because of that issue or that problem or that person. It's just because I'm just not seeing you.
Yes.
You know. Because that all together takes away the focus and everything, and trying to get that resolve or change the person or move or all this, yeah. You know, and it, when it kind of points out to you, kind of like, no, you're just not seeing me. No, that's the problem. No, you're not seeing me. You are not seeing me. That's the problem. No, the person is a problem. Look at the way that person is. That's a problem. No. Problem is that you don't see me there. You don't see me. You know, you're not seeing me in that.
It's almost like we don't want to, even in a bad situation or person, or we don't want to consider the Lord in that situation.
We don't want to consider the Lord. We want him to fix it. That's what we want.
Just fix it.
I mean, that's me.
Just fix it.
Just get rid of it or fix it, Lord. Or get rid of me. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. What an ignorant, I mean, I'm talking about myself. What an ignorant prayer that is. Get me out of here. And the Lord's like, I've already translated you. Where do you think you are? Where do you think you're finding your life?
And that's where you were mentioning, well, the scripture says it, where it says that we walk by faith. We don't see, it's just that we're so accustomed to seeing it in the natural. And we want to see God in the natural.
Yeah.
And God cannot be seen in the natural. It takes, like you said, it takes a miracle. It takes the Holy Spirit. And he's patient. He's going to wait. Till we stop looking in the natural, and he will come and he will reveal Christ, that he is the only one. He's the only one. But again, you know, God allows us to go through that. You know, I told Cena, there's times, you know, but God allowed me to see it so I can see where I'm at and see this situation was never where I belong. I never belong here. I belong where Christ wants me to see him, only him. And again, yes, we want a miracle. We cry. I'm one of those. I cried out screaming, God, help me, get me out of this, you know. And God is, he's so patient, he's loving, and he does. But he will remind us through his spirit, through his word, that it's only been him. It's always going to be him. And like, he's the eternal. There's nothing else more. It's just him. That's it.
I mean, you're right, because if we cry out, we're asking for something less.
I guess it's, I don't know, it's, you know, when something's happening, and, you know, the flesh wants to say, hey, get me out of this, but also in the back of your mind, you're like, but you know that's not the answer, so you kind of just sit there while it happens to you. You kind of just, okay, we'll just pile it on, you know, but then on another side in your head, you hear, well, you have to see the Lord in this. But then, you know, I think even with that, we have an idea of what that's supposed to look like. How am I supposed to see the Lord in this? What does this even look like? How does this even happen? What do I need to do? Like, what do I need to not do to see the Lord in this situation? But I don't know, you were saying earlier that, you know, we're looking for something else other than Christ.
When I was in Bible school, and this will make a lot of sense, when I was in Bible school, I wanted to see fruit. I wanted to see fruit. And I wasn't seeing fruit. I wanted to see fruit. I wanted to see fruit in me. I'm not seeing fruit in me. So I don't know how long I spent trying to see fruit in me. And finally, I mean, the Lord was like so merciful, because I obviously missed it totally and completely. And he just kind of showed me that, well, see, fruit just happens. And your heart is abiding, dwelling, not at the source. Right? This is going to sound a little weird. But I wanted to see something with my natural eyes.
Surface.
On the earth. In my situation and in my circumstance. And see, here's the thing. We don't see the Lord down here below. We don't. Though he's in our soul. I'll ask you this. Can you see my heart? Please say no. Because if you say yes, I've got to tell you, you're a liar. Number two, can you see my soul? The answer is please say no. Because if you say yes, you're a liar. See? So if you can neither see my heart nor my soul, what makes you think you can see Christ who fills my soul? And yet he does. Just as he fills everyone else's soul who's born again. To see, this is, like I said, this is going to sound really whacked out, really out there. To see the one whom we receive, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, must lift the eyes of our heart above. Because everything that is below is our knowledge, is taste, touch, see, hear, all with the natural. Remember, John on the Isle of Patmos, he started off, I was what? On the Isle of Patmos? No. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The perfect day. I was in the Spirit. I was not, my heart was not dwelling below, but above. And see, even with, you know, the Lord's going to deal with this because he wants, I mean, you can read the scriptures up to Jerusalem in the Psalms, up to Jerusalem, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Moses went up to meet with God. You know, why is it always up? Have I brought you with eagle's wings up unto myself? I mean, why didn't he say eagle's feet? No, eagle's wings up. It applies above. Why did Paul say, hey, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Well, that's not below, it is above. And yet our vessels are found below. And we look and we search, and all of our looking and all of our searching are below, where he will never be found. The Holy Spirit erects the full attention of our heart and places it above, where he is found. Now get this. When our heart finally turns in true repentance to the Lord, where we, like John, turn to see the voice, and we see the voice that speaks with us, we don't just see the testimony of him, but we actually see the one of whom the testimony speaks. And at that very moment, he's revealed to us. Because the very one whom we see is in us. And in our concepts, whatever they are, fall. So then, at that point, everything that's below, the situation or circumstance or anything else, hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Because I see the eternal who's above. I actively walk in the land of the living. I'm not asleep in the land of the living. I'm fully awake. In the land of the living. It is, what do you do at night? You sleep at night. Right? In darkness, you're asleep. But in the day, you should be awake. And that's just natural. In the darkness below, that's when you're asleep. To him who is ever present. But in the day, if we're brought into the day, we're not supposed to be sleeping anymore. You know? Arise, wake, you who sleep in slumber, your salvation is actually here. But see, only God can do that. And he, I love the verse you quoted, he delights to do this. He doesn't delight to take away our concept. No, he delights to show the true one, because he knows that when we actually behold and lay hold of the true one, automatically, well, what do I have to do with these idols? We chunk our concepts by ourselves. No one has to take it from us. We chunk it before. I probably used an example here. I don't know. All I'm using is, it's like we hold on to this precious dog poop until the Lord shows us reality, and then we're like, oh my God, we chunk that. Somebody give me some water and soap, and let me wash my hands, because we're calling something that's of no value. We're saying this is a value, and with the Lord, it's like we have no clue. But He doesn't come, you know, like the Big Bang Boogeyman, taking our toys away. He doesn't do that. I mean, and please, if you're a parent, no, I don't even have to tell you this. You know what happens when you take your favorite toy away from a kid. You know what happens. It's like total meltdown. You know what happens. You don't do that. You know, you basically present something better. They let go of whatever it is. When you present the better, when the better's in view, you know, it's kind of like this. Has anyone noticed the bracelet I'm wearing? Did anybody notice it?
No,
you didn't until I pointed it out. And now it's like, oh my God, he's had that the whole time. I never noticed it.
Bracelet.
Oh, bracelet. Did anybody notice it? Anybody?
You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did.
Now I notice it more.
Okay. You notice it more. Did you notice the ganglion cyst that I have on my wrist? Right there. You didn't notice it. No one did. Because this is what you noticed. The Lord does so much greater when He shows His Son. We become completely oblivious to ourselves, to our concepts, to our thoughts, to our actions, because we are so caught up when He draws the attention of our heart and places it upon the One who is of eternal value, Christ Himself, the One who is actually our life, the One who has always been present since the moment of new birth, the One who has never slept, the One who has never slumbered, the One who has always been faithful and true, and remains faithful and true, regardless of us. That's what He does. And it's clean. You know, it's clean. It's pure when it's the Lord. Because the only object in view is Christ. And nothing less. Not even a message or a teaching about Him. You know, and I can say that. I can say that. Because I'm convinced, even with the things that I share, it's not about that. That has to, if what I share is of God, it has to serve His purpose. It will serve His purpose. It's designed to serve His purpose. And that is to continue to prepare the ground of your heart so that the Holy Spirit can take the full attention of your heart and place it upon Christ His Son. Above. Not below, but above.
The process, send your affections on. Things above.
Oh, there you go. Is that it?
My
is that,
eyes
is,
up.
What? Is that all it says?
And now I'm thinking below.
But is that all it says? Read the verse.
I was trying to find the verse. Yeah.
Oh, what Bible app do you use? That's why. No, just kidding. All I'm going to type is.
Is it Colossians?
Yeah. Colossians. Colossians 2 or 3.
I'm going to say Colossians.
Colossians.
Yeah. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we all yearn for all that is above, for that where Christ sits enthroned as a place of power on the authority.
Okay, let's slow down and read it real slow.
Christ's resurrection.
Wait, now tell us what verse you're reading.
Oh, Colossians 3. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn, keyword yearn, for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned.
It's the yes and another thing. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
at the place of all power, honor, and authority.
Okay. See, I got into the deeper life stuff, and I thought it was, you know, first charismania, then study, and then I took it a step above study. Deeper life says, above, above, above. The gospel says, above where Christ is seated. See? Boom. It all comes to one now. Not even the testimony of that man, to one man, to Christ himself, where it is all seated, all finished, all taken care of, nothing changing. Sorry, I had to jump in there.
So not just the testimony, but the one that's sitting.
And see, we need the testimony.
Yeah.
Because this is, I mean, like I said, God will use whatever, whenever, and however. He does that. I mean, he spoke to me in the movie of Babe. You know, the little pig? The little pig. I was so, even before Bible school, I ever went to Bible school, I was so condemned. I couldn't even read the Gospels. I would be condemned. And he spoke to me in a movie of a pig whom its owner loved. I mean, he'll use anything, but yet he gave the scriptures the most perfect testimony there is of his son. But if we're not in the scriptures, if we're not searching the scriptures, then he takes the initiative and he will use anything and everything he can to show us the only thing, the only one of true worth and value and actually satisfaction to our soul and heart. You know? He does this. He's so loving.
It pleases him.
And it pleases him to do this.
I think that's the biggest thing. I always said to you, we want to make God happy.
And
you know, we want to please God.
Yeah.
We want to do things for him. Do things for the kingdom. Yeah. Although, yes, we should, but to see what really pleases him is black and white right there.
Yeah.
Please,
to show you what you already have. Yeah. I remember when that happened. I saw that. I remember I was like, well, hold on. I was like, okay, it pleases Jesus. You know, God is pleased with his son. Now I was like, where am I here? You know, I was like, oh, something's wrong. I remember when the Lord, at the beginning, he was dealing with me and all that. I was like, what? You know, and I searched. I guess I was looking for a testimony of me. You know, I was like, where's the testimony of myself? You know, where am I here? Where's humans, you know? You know, but, you know, he loved the world that he gave his, you know, his son.
In this man.
Yeah, so. You know, I remember that. I was like, wow, that was an eye-opening. You know, that was a miracle. That was a miracle. You know, and the time whenever I was like, when I heard, you know, there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ, I was like, wait, hold on, there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ? I remember I was sitting down and I stood up because I've always heard that, I've always read it, but it wasn't until that time where I actually saw the Lord and was like, there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. You know, and I kept repeating, it was at midnight. I was like, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. You know, that's amazing how there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And why do I keep condemning myself? You know, what's going on here? You know, and like you said, in all that, there's movement. You know, there's a moving forward in that. You know, that happened, I don't know, 2010 or something. But there's always a movement of him. You know, he's moving. You know, he's always moving. And he wants us to see that, you know. He moves. He moves. He's alive. You know, he's alive. He moves and that's what I should.
I think even when I've read that verse, there's no condemnation, I looked at it as myself. I'm not condemned. You know, we say we can read the Bible and try to see ourselves through the Bible.
Well,
with you're the object.
Yeah,
you
know, trying to use verse and apply it to me. And but where Paul says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Of course there's no condemnation, because the Father would never condemn his Son. It's not about you not being condemned. It's about his Son not being condemned. And his Son living in you. And that's why you're not condemned. It's not because, you know, again, it's like, well, what about me? You know, where am I left in this equation? Like, you know, but it's there's no condemnation because of this guy, not because of you.
It goes to believing in the truth. It goes to the beginning. I was saved, and now there's a life that is not mine, and nobody can take that away, and I'm saved, and it's done. You know, and it's Jesus, and it's his life. And it starts there, because you start, that's man, that's Christ, that's the base. Mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't move. You know, so of course there is no condemnation, you know, but it's, you know, it's going back to that base and no, there's life, it's Jesus. He's my life, you know, he's my everything. I don't need anything else. I'm good. You know, it's like, you know, I think it was the one last year, like, you know, how is it going to be next year? It's going to be a great year. You know, there's, you know, we had an awesome year and the year is great and it's awesome right now. And it's going to be great tomorrow. It's always good. It's him. Even if everything is falling down, it doesn't matter. It's still good. You know, it's still good. It's awesome. It's great. You know, because that's the base. That's the ground. That's his life. You know, you step into the logic. No, but how are you doing, man? It's horrible. You understand. You know, it's painful. You know, the logic, ourselves, humanity down here. You know, but, you know, in the Lord, no, you know, no, hold on, I'm in the Lord, you know, it's good. It's always good. Yeah. It's just stepping into that reality, you know, and seeing that reality that it is him. You know, and nobody can change that. Nobody can take that away. Nobody can take that away. The devil, what? Devil, oh, come on. You know, I mean, nothing. Nothing can take that away. It's done. And we're complete. We are complete and we got everything and everything. That's it. But what about, no, don't bring the what about, you know. That's the logic part. The what about is the logic. The, you know, the earth. Yeah, there's a lot of what abouts there. You know, but it doesn't matter.
I think the response to the what abouts from Jesus would be like, let the dead bury the dead, you follow me.
There's a podcast from Brother Reagan. He was talking about the scriptures and how it's just testimony of Christ. And he gave an example of when someone sends you a text message and they say, if the text message reads, I'll be there at 5:30. And you read the message and you read the text. You read that scripture and you're like, okay, all right, I'm going to believe this. And I'm, okay, this is what you say. Okay, I'm going to believe this. But it's not true to you until that person actually comes at 5:30 and you see them. You see the scripture or the text and you're like, okay, yes, this is true. So the scripture, the testimony, it's not true in us until he comes. It's like you read that verse, there's no condemnation. You know that to be true, but until he came, until the Holy Spirit came, then you're like, you stood up and you're like, this is true. I know this to be true until he comes. And when you were talking about sleeping and darkness, and when it's bright, that's when movement happens. I was brought back to the story when the disciples and Jesus in the boat in the storm, and Jesus was sleeping. Even though everything was happening and they're like going crazy and they're like, oh my God, where's Jesus? Oh, he's sleeping. But this is how I take it. he saw the storm and he knew it, but he knew there was nothing to be done. Mm-hmm. So the sleeping, you know, sleeping at night, and you know, there was no movement that yeah. needed to happen.
At night, right there.
He was sleeping in the boat, even though everything was happening. So nothing physically, he didn't have to do anything physically, because peace and everything that they wanted to stop was already with him in the boat.
That's the key.
It's like, until he comes, then that's when we know this.
He was there, and they never considered him except to try to fix their situation. That's when they didn't consider him. They were considering the situation is what they were considering.
Like, wake
That's
up.
That's what they considered.
Wake up.
They looked at Jesus as a means to their end. So they really didn't look to Jesus. They just, hey, they, you know, rub the genie lamp, because this is what I need. And he is all that we need, and he is all present. The thing is, we will... we'll discover that when God the Father makes it known in each one of our hearts. And he'll continually make that known.
His
mercies in every morning.
Our flesh kind of believes that there's something else. That there's something more to just Jesus.
It's too simple.
Like, no, there's not that there's something more that I need to do, but this isn't everything. Like, this isn't the answer. This isn't going to fix completely. Like, for some reason, we think that there's something else better. Like, we want the poop, or we want the stuff. I don't know why the flesh kind of tends to just, or the arm logic makes us believe that there's something else.
Well, it's the old creation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Needs to die.
Well, it doesn't.
It's like we want Jesus, we want the genies.
The Lord brought
to learn.
That creation to an end in the cross. We still think it's there. This may sound weird and whacked out and sci-fi-ish, but death is not present. And listen to the way I say this. Pharaoh is not present. When the children of Israel, I mean, it's a beautiful testimony of Christ, death, Joseph, and the multicolored coat, the death, the blood shown to the Father, my son is dead, death, burial, the abode of the dead in Egypt, you know, the abode of the dead, Hades, the ruler of death, and yet here's Joseph, who has both the keys of hell and death, because he's made highest, you know, he's got all power and authority in Egypt. And then, of course, the testimony comes to life once again when the children of Israel are brought out by coming into the door that had the blood on it, the cross. So in that sense, the moment they walked through the door, and literally they walked through the door and ate the lamb, it's now on the inside. The lamb is now on the inside. Salvation is present inside. Everything else is death and darkness outside. And the Lord brings them out on eagle's wings unto himself, crosses the Red Sea. There's death, there's burial, the Red Sea, and what's that? What's next? Resurrection unto myself on eagle's wings, unto myself. But these little things right here, these natural vessels, are still here, below. And yet our life is found above. And so here now you have the children of Israel seemingly wandering around in the wilderness, and their hearts are submitted unto a king, unto a kingdom that is not even present. Pharaoh never made it across the Red Sea, nor did his armies. The kingdom, that king and kingdom, the reign and rule of death, was brought to death in the death of the Lamb. Because you can search it out. It's in Exodus. The confession of Egypt after the death of the Lamb is, we be dead men. That is the confession of Egypt. And what is dead must be buried. Those you see today again, or those you see this day, you will see again no more, forever. What did the Lord do? He brings his son into the grave. Brings Egypt into the grave, Pharaoh and his army. Well, I don't know if Pharaoh actually came or not, but they're in there. And only one comes out of the grave. That's his son. What happens to the armies? Buried. What's dead must be buried. And you've got the children of Israel in the wilderness, completely ignorant that they are seated in heavenly places above in Christ Jesus. They've been brought there by God Almighty on eagle's wings unto himself. Can't you hear the words of Jesus? You know, I will come again and bring you unto myself. This is the moment of new birth. And yet their natural vessels were on the earth below, and they think they're finding their life down below. And so what are they considering? They're considering, because their hearts are submitted unto not what is, but what was. And so therefore, their hearts are submitted to ignorance, unto a Pharaoh, unto a king, unto a government, unto a rule and a reign that isn't even present. Because you hear when they say, oh, when we were in Egypt, oh, the flesh pots, the leeks, the onions, the melons, that doesn't even exist. That's like Noah in the ark, man. Before the flood, what if Noah had his favorite food stand? Praise God, that was great. Once he went into the flood, he's in a new creation. Where's his food stand? It doesn't exist. You can't go back. You can't, it's impossible. You can't go back. You're in a different world altogether. But until we see the life of this world we've been brought into, the life of this creation, our hearts are still submitted unto ignorance of what was, of what never had life to begin with. You know, Egypt, the abode of the dead. You know, but I wanted to mention something because I thought about this a couple times, and then while you were speaking, I thought of it again. There is believing, right? This is just like like an order of it, and this isn't anything special. This God still has to use this too, like everything else that everybody's been sharing, to prepare the ground of our heart to direct it unto Christ. Right? We can believe in the form of hope, and what I mean is this, and this is gonna make total sense. You know, I can say this because it is true. Christ is in you. I can say that. At the moment of new birth, Christ is in you. That is true. I can also say this. At the moment of new birth, because of the fact, because of the reality that Christ is in you, your soul is now found seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you try to draw that, good luck. You can't draw in the natural. That's like Jesus saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. Whoa, what is that? I don't even know what that looks like. You can't draw that. No. Because your drawing comes from your natural mind. And your natural mind has no clue compared to the mind of Christ. But we can believe the truth, and we are to believe the truth. But that believing is in the form of hope. Hope is believing and not seeing. That's what hope is. You've believed it, you just haven't seen it. But see, it's like the one who presents the testimony. You have to believe the testimony. I mean, it's just, I've said, yeah, believe whatever you want to believe. No, we do have to believe the testimony. We can't just believe whatever we want to believe. Though we do believe whatever we want to believe. I mean, the leeks, the melons, we believe what we want to believe. But we have to believe the testimony. And yet, in believing the testimony, what God says is true, Christ is in you, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's actually believing in the form of hope, because you're believing something that's true, you've just never seen it. But that has to happen. You have to believe in the form of hope. And see, all that does is get you on the same page as the Lord's on. I mean, if we're contrary and say, no, I don't believe that, I don't think so, or not yet, or no, then we're like this with God, because God is saying, this is true, and we're saying, no, not yet, okay? When we say, I believe, Lord, what you're saying, even though you've never seen the reality of it, I believe what you're saying, we're believing in the form of hope. And the Spirit of the Lord says, finally. And so he continues preparing the ground of the heart. Oh, and to believe in the form of hope requires the Holy Spirit. You could not believe the Bible except the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart. That required a miracle of God to believe in the form of hope. Okay, so now we believe this. Okay, I believe that Christ is in me. I believe that I'm in Christ. He made me heavenly places and questions. I believe that the Word of God says, I believe it. And so the Holy Spirit continues to bring the ground of our heart with the testimony of the Scripture, with the testimony of others, with whatever, however, whenever, so that we can finally come in our heart to believe in the form of faith. And faith is actually seeing the substance that cannot be seen with a natural eye, Christ himself. Faith is seen with the eye of the soul, the eye of the heart, above. But what is there to see above? Christ seated upon the throne, where everything is perfect, complete, and finished. The true Solomon, the greater than Solomon, ruling and reigning, not only above, but actually in the heart. And when that happens, then there's the see, we've sung the song on Christ the soul, with a rock I stand on the water ground, it's sinking sand. That's actually been the case in reality since the moment of new birth, whether and we felt it or thought about it or not. That's been reality. That is the truth. But when we see it, when we see him, as Tony mentioned, the base, the solidness of it, but it's only in seeing him. It's not seeing a base. It's actually seeing a person. Then it's like, oh, wow. You know, there's like that. Like a little kid, you know, I'm in my parents' arms. It's all good.
When you sleep in their bed.
Yeah.
It's a big place.
You're at rest.
Like the disciple, apostle Steve, even before he was gonna get stoned, he saw Jesus.
Yeah.
Sitting on the Bible. Yeah. And he was in peace when they stoned him. He was thinking about them.
You see, it was beyond thinking. Yeah. He was seeing the Lord. And the way he says it, the heavens were open. I mean, his heart is directed above, and he sees the Lord.
And so the fellow didn't take, he didn't stop the rock from coming.
Yeah, it was the first time to see the rock.
I wasn't thinking about that right now when you're saying that. Mommy, Mommy. And he was in rest. And he had a smile on his face.
And out from what he saw, his heart was submitted unto what he saw. Alright? Not I, but Christ. Mm-hmm. What does he say? Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Mm-hmm. No man says that. Mm-hmm. Only Jesus says that.
What?
Mm-hmm. Do you see how the automatic is? Like our heart is submitted unto whatever it sees. Mm-hmm. You know? Regardless for us we're born again, Christ is present, his kingdom is present, but what is our heart submitted unto? Our heart submitted unto whatever we see. And we're either going to see with a natural eye below, and it's just going to be a rocky, crazy, stormy ride, or we're going to behold what cannot be beheld with the natural eyes, and we're going to behold him. And then rocks fly or rocks don't fly. I have, I don't have. It doesn't matter. The heart is steadfast upon the Lord.
People don't want to hear that. They want.
I need my miracle.
Give me my miracle. Give me my money. Oh, don't give me the have nots. I want the ones. I want it. We're hopeless.
I was able to share with a cousin of mine, and you know what we're sharing issues like all. I have never thought that way. Believe me, I never thought myself. And she was crying for a miracle too, for you know a situation she was going through. And I thought, that's not what the Lord wants us to see, but He'll show it. But I'm just sharing something that I lived. She was like, I never thought that. And I go, yeah, I mean, God bless. And like you said, I do believe that God has to use miracles, signs and wonders for the unbelievers, for the ones that don't see. You know, that's the purpose for it. But the purpose is to bring them to Christ so they can see Him more than all this. And then when I was sharing with her, and she was like, I never heard it that way. I never heard it that way. But now I see it, and I want more. But I'm still there. I told her I'm not all there, but at least I know where I'm at now.
When by the Spirit of God, that's what it amounts to, the heart directed under the Lord and seeing everything in the person of Jesus Himself. Mm-hmm. And see, and when you see that, then it's all about Jesus, and everything that literally is of God directs the heart into Christ. Then, hey, it's not about I know miracle signs and wonders aren't the issue. I know that deeper life messages isn't the issue. But it's like, whatever it takes, Lord, use it, because I know your end. I know if it's of you, I know the purpose it will serve. And that just, man, that releases God to do whatever He wants. You know? However He wants, whatever's needed in each one of our hearts. I mean, I'm thankful to what I've heard. I don't know about you guys, but during this whole sharing, and it wasn't out of my mouth, I heard what I needed to hear from the Lord. Because God knows my heart. You don't. God does. But I heard what I needed to hear from the Lord. And see, that's the thing. You know, when two or more are gathered, He makes His mind known. He makes His mind known very clear. You know, when we're praying in our quote-unquote, you know, some people may call it our closet time, closet prayer, where no one else can hear, when it's just me and the Lord, no one else can hear, and I need to hear from the Lord, He's merciful enough to speak through whatever, whenever, and whoever. Why? Because it pleases Him to direct our heart unto His Son. Because, I'll just use myself, I have once again considered something less. Mm-hmm. And as Tony would say, and I'm going to use this word, I have made something less the issue, when the issue is Christ alone.
Because seeing that takes the work of the Holy Spirit for us to see that. And I remember me and Raymond talking about, you know, we try to corner God with scripture, you know, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm seeking. I need to find you. Like, you need to be made known. You need to be,
you said you were.
You know, like your scripture says, but just because we seek doesn't mean, I mean, it's the miracle. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that allows us to, you know, behold, and I guess that's where patience comes in.
Like John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord.
Yeah. We're trying to use that, well, I'm seeking, in the wrong motive. We're trying to see what you're saying, like, I'm seeking, I'm reading.
I'm knocking, you need to open the door.
You're looking at the wrong thing. Even though that's good, you should do that, but you're looking at the wrong motive.
Because Jesus did say the word saying it in our ways.
This
is how it needs to be. But every word that Jesus said is true. You know, He does not lie. God does not lie. So He did say it, but it's just the way we're trying to
go
by the scripture.
Because then, see what happens, like, Oh yeah, you showed up because I see.
I guess in moments of desperation.
Because I called you. Yeah, because
that's
me.
That's when we want to pray and see, you know. And Jesus, I know Jesus wasn't even talking about the things here. The earthly things.
You know, the thing I remember, like, you know, there's so many miracles that happen, and people don't pray for those miracles, and they still happen, you know. But I'm pretty sure if there was a way to register them, people would take credit. You know, it's like, well, who did that? Well, I don't know. I was praying for the world, so I'm pretty sure it was me.
It's like when Harvey happened. You would see people on Facebook, man, I prayed and thank God we're blessed that we didn't get flooded. Or they were saying, pray that the hurricane turns and hits
somewhere else.
Hits somewhere else. Like,
it's coming. But then it's like, well, what about them? Are they not blessed?
I mean, so bad. Hopeless. We're hopeless. Gotta see the Lord. Yeah. All right.
Bethany said, Mom, give me my Bible because I want to go over there and preach.
Okay.
What page is Jimmy on?
Okay. All right.
It's her turn.
Hey, we can still be
for a day
for me, though.
It smells
like pee. That's a lot of pages. Hey, 109
pages. Any other comments or questions? Yes. Tomorrow, you know, we'll gather and continue because the Lord will move. You know, He always moves. Yeah, He always moves. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.